Assalamu alaikum. Because this is for all of our dervishes and to know that we're dedicating our zikr tonight to the companions of Florida. And I call them companions specifically, not wanting to use the name victim, because this is their exalted divine destiny. And inshallah, they are a sign. They're definitely a sign of Allah, a divine sign, an ayat. And as we can see, it's already working as an alchemy, as a catalyst to hearts, to minds, to everyone, inshallah, or those who are disposed to looking inside and to investigating and questioning, you know, what is it that brings this about? So Ramadan is a time for that. Ramadan is a time for self-reflection, profound self-reflection. And some of it, you know, comes just naturally as we encounter the moments, moment by moment. Every moment is a reality. In Ramadan, it's so clear, where things are more clear. And where we can also help to free ourselves of our own obstacles and burdens and weights. And the way to do that is simply by turning to Allah. It's so simple. It's so simple. When we struggle in the days of Ramadan, and those are more the moments of struggle than the nights, but they too, if we're struggling, turn to Allah. Ask Allah's help immediately. You know, for assistance and support or to remove this state from us. If it's a burdensome state or a difficulty with fasting. Today, I mean, I can tell you, for me personally, it was a huge struggle to stay in the fast. I mean, I don't know why, but so many times I was like, you know, I want to break the fast. I don't need, you know, but I was never convincing myself that I didn't need to fast, but... So there are days of struggle. You know, it's not that it's going to all be sailing and just the first days are difficult and then the latter days, oh, it all gets easier and easier. Not necessarily, you know, because that's not the way of the divine struggle, which is an honor to humanity. Humanity struggles and it's a great honor. And although it's not fun, you know, but you... Things happen in those moments and are given to us in those moments, divine gifts and divine transformations that we could take lifetimes to achieve otherwise. So the fasting really is like a hastening of the process of clarification and transformation and essentially to bring us to the pure human soul, you know, which is the divine vessel, which is the divine face, which is the divine flow. That's what we are. Of course, you know, I'm not going to go into further complications about that, but so to come back to our companions, companions of Florida, Allah had written that was in their destiny, you know. And may they remain a sign, almost like the seven sleepers. That's actually what came to mind for them, like almost like the seven sleepers. So, and they represent not just themselves, they represent all the victims in the world. People are getting killed all the time unfairly, or dying all the time, either through starvation, through neglect, through violence, through home domestic violence, through social violence, through these acts of bombs and blowing up people and for who knows, distorted ideologies that comes from really unhappiness and ignorance. I mean, if we trace it back, it comes from, you know, who's responsible ultimately? It's difficult to say. Muzaffar Effendi did place the responsibility on the spiritual teachers. If there can be any responsibility, you know, ultimately everyone is simply the servant of Allah and acting out Allah's will. But if we look on the human level, it's the spiritual teachers who are the most responsible, because they send out the vibrations and the messages, the energy fields in which people are living. And so it does fall on their shoulders. So inshallah, but you know, may we all together as a human family rise up and to be who we truly are, and to live in that light of Allah, and trusting Allah, and turning to Allah, and loving each other for the sake of Allah, loving each other not for what we can gain from another, and but loving each other simply because we are in this divine reality together, because we are that one being. And so it's loving itself. When we love each other on that level, it is truly Allah loving Allah. And that we taste in our dervish order. You know, so it's so amazing. Allah says, you gave all that is on earth, you could never bring about the love that is between the hearts of a loving community, a God-filled loving community. So, alhamdulillah. So, Kyle is going to pass out now. We have 49 names. I will be the 50th. His name is Omar Mateen. I will call out his name. He's a if we want to use the word victim, he's a victim too. And that's usually all crimes are perpetrated by victims, mostly, you know. So, and at some point in the who, when we're reciting who, you just have to call out the name that has been given to you. So start with the inner circle, Kyle, and then you go out to all the runs until you've completed, and you start here, and just go around the circle. And don't read the age. That was got in there because that was on the list. You don't need to read the ages, you know. I mean, unless you think it's important. What?
Just the names.
Just the names, yeah. Mm-hmm. And one to Wally, too. Salaam alaikum, brother. There's a beautiful hadith in 101 which speaks of the victim and perpetrator. And in that scene, these hadiths often portray what will happen in, you know, at that moment, the day of truth, to give us teachings about what to do now in our life. And so in that hadith, the victim and here I am using those words because and the perpetrator are sitting together before their Lord. And and Allah asks the victim what the victim would want. So the victim wants the perpetrator to carry his burdens for him. Accuser and accused. Okay, so that's how Sheikh Noor rendered it. While the glorious messenger, upon him be peace, was seated among his companions, they saw him smile so widely that his eye teeth were revealed. Omar the Just inquired, "Why are you smiling, O messenger, more precious to me than my father and mother?" The noble prophet responded, "Two believers will one day kneel before the Lord of power, may he be exalted. The accuser will pray, 'O Lord, grant me compensation for the harm this brother has inflicted upon me.'" So here the masculine is used, but we know it applies to both. "Allah Most High will address the accused, 'Offer spiritual compensation to your brother for the harm you have caused him.' The accused will announce, 'O Lord, I have not a single good deed left to offer him.' 'Then let him carry some of my burdens,' the accuser will pray. The eyes of the messenger, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, filled with tears, and he interjected, 'That will truly be a terrible day when human beings will need someone else to carry their burdens.' The noble prophet continued, 'Allah, may he be glorified and magnified, will then address the accuser, Raise your eyes and gaze into the gardens of paradise. He will lift his head and exclaim, O Lord, I see cities of silver and palaces of gold crowned with pearls. To what prophet or martyr do these beautiful abodes belong? They belong to the ones who pay me the full price. Allah answers, O Lord, who is able to do that? You are able to do that. How, O Lord? By forgiving your brother. O my Lord, I forgive him instantly. The Most High will continue. Now take the hand of your brother and allow him to enter paradise. The messenger, may divine peace be upon him, then remarked, be in loving awe of Allah Most High and make peace among yourselves. For then Allah will establish his own peace among you on the day of resurrection. This hadith comes from the transmission of the noble companion Anas ibn Malik. May Allah be pleased with him.